Welcome to Inside Groove, the only motorsports show where super modifieds are king. Methanol is aromatic, and the drivers carry their balls in a bag. Inside Groove is powered by IPC Indy, creating performance parts and solutions for the automotive, aerospace, and communications industries. Here's your host and fellow superholic, Race Chaser Media's Tom Baker.
Welcome to this week's Inside Groove. I hope that all of you are comfortably seated and relaxed and have your favorite beverage next to you and are ready to kick back and listen to some super modified discussion, because we're going to have that. We're also going to have some small block discussion, SBS style that is, on this show. Our featured guest this week, Andrew Shortner. And Andrew, it wasn't the longest interview we've ever done, because we needed to be sensitive to Andrew's time when we did it. However, we think you'll find it both entertaining and also thoughtful. With me now, however, on this show, which, by the way, is brought to you, as you heard in the open, by Indy Performance Composites, and also a special nod to Skip's Fish Fry and J&S Paving for being a part of it as well. Tom Baker with you. Camden Proud is with me in this segment. Camden's been missing in action here on the show for a couple weeks, but we're always glad to have him back. And now that the snow's melted up there, he's been able to sort of get up and get de-thawed and ready to let us know what's going on. And man, it seems like opening day is still a ways away, but we've got this little thing called an expo show coming up in a couple weeks, and a lot of registrations coming in, a lot of stuff flying around up there as we get ready for the 2020 season, right?
Yeah, we have a lot going on, actually. It seems like as soon as the snow finally started to melt, we were kind of able to get things going and get up in the office and get back to work. So it's nice to have all the registrations finally starting to come in. And, you know, looking ahead for the 2020 season, really excited about the Motorsports Expo next week. It sounds like we're going to have a lot of fun things going on.
Talk about the Expo and talk about what is going to be happening pursuant to the Oswego Speedway booth or a space for the expo itself, what cars and you know, what's going on in the booth.
Right, so far we got a couple of cars committed. We'll have both of the Geo Racing small block supers there. Greg O'Connor and Tony Fiesel will have their cars on display, and I think we're working on a super modified or two potentially. We're waiting to hear back from a couple teams, so I don't want to say anything just yet, but we're keeping our fingers crossed. It would be really nice to have one car from every division there, and we're hoping for that. So that's great. We appreciate Greg and Tony coming out and helping promote the Speedway and the class. And we're just looking forward to it. We'll be there Saturday, March 14th from 10 to 8 and Sunday the 15th from 11 to 4. And we'll have a nice new big Oswego Speedway canopy, a big tent over our booth, so you can't miss us. We'll have merchandise, replays going on from last year, schedules to pass out. Should have some new merchandise there. Hopefully we'll be able to announce that in the next few days on social media. And just come out and chat with us and talk about the 2020 season. It's always a long off season, it seems, and this seems to kind of break the ice and speed the whole process up as we look ahead to opening day.
Well, it should be fun. One theme that developed through that has developed through the thread of this week's particular show here is the distance between where I'm sitting and where Andrew Shortner sits every week, because he's down here too, obviously, and up there. And I know that I am still wanting very much to get up there for next week's TQ show and to come to the expo probably on Saturday and see what's going on. But just watching the weather, I'll make the decision probably midweek next week once I know for sure what the situation is going to be between here and there. Love to come up for that. We've had some news that's come out recently. And you obviously, as we talked about, have had a number of registrations coming in. I think the news story for me that I found to be fun was the dynamic duo that's now been formed for the 18 car. Andrew Shortner not going to run full time this year, but the car is. When Andrew is not running, Brian Sovis is going to be in the car, and we know the success that both of those two have had in the small block division in the past. You know, Brian and both of them were centered around, for the most part, the Hedger cars, and then of course Carl Schartner built the car that Andrew's currently got. But I'm sure a lot of the ideas were the same, and you know, those two are great friends too. So this is going to be a lot of fun on a lot of different levels. Andrew and I talk about the kind of trash talk that'll go on back and forth between the two of them and whatever. But it's going to be a split season. Andrew does talk about what that's going to look like in his interview. So we'll save that for when that comes up in our next segment. But it's going to be an interesting combination with those two. And I think both of them have the chance to win some races. It should be fun. I mean, this could be one of those teams that just becomes entertaining to watch throughout the year, because both drivers are very personable and a lot of fun to talk to, and very quotable most of the time. sometimes you got to slap an R rating on it, but they're still very quotable. But it just should be, that's something we haven't seen very much of, is using more than one driver. So neither of them are going to win the points, but they're out to win races and support the track on a weekly basis. So I think it's kind of cool that we get to see that happening.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. It's tough for guys like Andrew and Keith Champagne that come down your way and got to book a darn $400 round trip American Airlines flight every time they want to race.
Yeah.
So it's tough. I think it's great that Carl and Andrew and the whole team and everybody involved are willing to put Brian in the car and support the class weekly. And obviously somebody of his caliber and talent. I mean, the guy belongs in a super modified.
Let's be honest.
He's both do. Absolutely. Yep. And Brian's already proven that, you know, he can be a winner in the super modified class. And I have no doubt that Andrew could be as well. So until then, I think it's great to have them both running in the small block class. It's nice, you know, kind of a similar situation to me where it's a home-built car and, you know, a father-son deal. And I would love to see Andrew pick up another win in his father's chassis. I think it's a really neat thing they got going on.
I'd love to see them both win, and I believe they both will, honestly.
Yeah.
I think before the season's out, I think both of them will get wins. You know, and like I said, the friendship and the camaraderie between Andrew and Brian, I mean, it goes all the way back to high school age. And of course, I've known them both forever and have worked with both of them on and off. And, you know, I'm great friends with both. And I just think it's cool to see, again, it what it does is it basically gives us another driver, even though we have to get one driver out of the car to put the other one in. It brings Brian back to racing action. And Brian's a popular guy and a lot of fans like watching him. So that'll be a good thing for the small block class to have that car in action every week. And I'm really thankful too that Carl Schartner is healthy enough and strong enough to be able to do this.
Absolutely.
So, yep. You know, cause he's had some health issues over the last few years. And so, you know, again, those guys are like family to me. So happy to see them back and that they're all kind of pumped up. We have Andrew on this show. We're going to try to get Brian, on one of our next couple shows to kind of get his side of it. It'll be fun. What else are we hearing? Who else is coming back? What else is going on? What else is in the news up there?
Well, I guess one thing I wanted to touch on was just the amount of rookie interest we have in the small block superclass and the SBS class, and then the registrations we're having come in, and some guys that I've heard are going to come up and race at least a part-time schedule. We should have at least six rookies this year in that class. And
in which, in the SBS?
Fantastic.
SBS, yes. Or three? Okay. SBS.
SBS.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Do we know, Rob Bruce is going to be a rookie. So we know that he's going to run it. I'm just thrilled that Robbo's going to get a chance to drive in that class and run a Swiggo. Who else do we have confirmed that's going to be a rookie in the SBS class?
Yeah, so Robbie Bruce, I think that's pretty cool. He gets to run with his brother. I'd love to
Yeah.
see him bang wheels out there.
Yeah. See which one versifies the other first.
That would be entertaining.
Maybe not if you're right behind him when it happens, but but again, the family aspect, I
The
think
family,
that's
yep,
going to
that's what
be
it's all
great.
about,
Yeah.
and I love that for them. So
Yeah.
excited for those guys. But yeah, I mean, beyond Bruce Racing, we got Griffin Miller coming in, and he really impressed at Evans Mills last year with a nice top five finish and his first start with the Bartlett. So he's got a older Lacerto chassis. I believe it's the one Anthony started his career with, and
Oh, wow.
they've got it together on the ground. The body's all built, and Griffin's going to run a full season, so he'll be able to go for Rookie of the Year. And
Cool.
obviously that's again the family tie,
Oh,
son of
of
Joe Miller,
course.
grandson of Steve. So
Yes. Are we
pretty
gonna,
awesome.
is it gonna be Sweet 16?
It's
Do
going to be nine.
we, oh, okay. That, because see, that would have been perfect. And I don't know that we have a 16 in the SBS class, do we? Or am I just brain dead?
No, I think
I
the
don't
last
think.
one would have been Bill Presley,
Yeah,
actually.
that was a while back. So that number
Yeah.
would have been open. That would have been cool to see that sort of thing. But glad to have Griffin there, and he's a good kid. I think that's, I again, like you said, a family that's been there for, shoot, it'll be about 50 years, probably close to it,
Right.
this year. So early 70s anyway, when Steve first started, I think, as a car owner.
Right. And then there's Kelly's son, Steve, who's going to drive the 350, and that's Steve, or excuse me, Kelly Miller's old Page car that he ran as a big block.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, so Steve will be in that for a couple 350 shows.
Nice. So two members of the Miller family, going to be running in different divisions. That's cool. And one of them in the 350s, which obviously we can use all the car count we can get in that division as it
Sure
continues to
can,
build.
yeah.
So that's a good addition. Who else is on the list that we know of?
Joey DeStevens, he's another Lacerto car. I think Lacerto sold two cars. I don't know if they have a third for sale. I think it was
Okay.
just those two, but
Okay.
I'm glad they were able to get him out the door, and
For
we've picked
sure.
up two rookies. That's another quarter midget Cartway graduate and Joey DeStevens, and I don't know if they're running the full season. I think they're going to kind of hit or miss a little bit between that, and they still got the quarter midget stuff for their other son. So
Okay.
they'll be busy this season, and it's nice to have another graduate of that division come up to the speedway.
For sure.
We also have Matt Germain, and he's helped on the safety crew. He's, I believe, his uncle is Roger Clark. He helped him out
Oh.
when Roger came back a couple of years ago. He's been involved with the Snyder crew for a long time, and he bought a former John Tesorario 47, and he's going to run the full season as well. So happy to have Matt as an addition, kind of living his dream. I know he's always wanted to race, and he's spectated and crewed for a long time. So pretty neat story there.
That's awesome. So he's going to run again. That'll be another SBS car.
Another SBS car. Yeah.
Sweet.
So it's working out good. And
Yeah.
Mark Denny Jr. Came back, or didn't come
A
back. He
14, right?
did race the 14.
Yeah.
Yep, he raced Fulton Speedway, I think, in the street stock division quite a while ago. So he actually did kind of come back to racing at the end of last year with just his first laps at Oswego,
Okay.
and he signed on for the commitment program too with that car this year.
That
So
was a sharp car.
it is sharp. I don't know if you saw the
I
picture
did.
we put up with the new design. It looks great.
Yeah,
So
it does.
good for Mark. Another great guy, great family. And I think the last one that I know of is Derek Hilton. I don't know much about him yet or his car. I'm actually supposed to be reaching out to him for a story. He's been around. I know the name. I think I've met him a couple times, but he's been a fan, I think, for quite some time. He registered his car as 66. I don't know on the details yet, but I have to watch for a story on him too. So
Right.
I think that's six rookies.
Wow. Okay. So the SBS class seems like it's going to be very healthy this year as compared to last year. And we said all along, we thought that this year, for this coming year, it would bounce back significantly once the crate kind of got cemented and everybody had a year to know it and see how it worked and all that. So happy to see that that's going on. What about the 350 class? You mentioned young Steve Miller. Who else do we have running in the 350 that we know about?
Yeah, another great story here is Kyle Perry. I think you know Kyle and Dennis Perry and their whole family.
Yes.
He actually has a older Bellinger car, and they got it on the ground last night, actually. He was sending me some pictures, and he plans to run every 350 race this year with that older Bellinger car
what
as
car
the number 20.
What Bellinger car is that?
I don't know. I really don't. I've asked him a couple times, and they haven't told me much on the history of it. I think it's a Graves car.
Oh, so it might be the one that Brandon started in.
I believe that it is. That's what Kyle thought. He told me he was going to ask Eddie and all those guys and get back to me, but that's the conclusion we came to. We were texting back and forth a while about it last night, actually, and we're pretty sure it is the Graves car that Brandon started in the mid-2000s. So it's, you know, again, another graduate of the Kartway, another graduate of quarter midgets, and, you know, spent a few years on the dirt racing sportsman.
Yeah, because I thought that I was thinking of the same kid. He ran sportsman class. Yeah, that's awesome. Good to have Kyle involved. Now I think who is it? Is it James Russo that I saw a picture of his car recently with a new sponsor announcement?
Yeah, as far as I know, I think he has the former 23, the Spalding Big Automotive 23, and he's working with Jason. He's from what I understand, he's helped Jason immensely as far as getting sponsors for his super modified effort. They had the car out of Classic last year. It's the former Snyder Racing Extreme car, actually. And, you know, it was nice to have Jason back. They didn't have much luck Classic weekend, but he's supposed to come out and hit several of our big block shows this year. And Russo, he crewed for my dad way back in 1998. He's been around for a long time, been a fan, and always wanted to get in the car. And he's, you know, kind of teamed up with Jason. And from what I understand, the car is just about done. And got a nice new sponsor in Aqua Spa of Oswego with Terry Leroy, and that's a new business that'll be opening up in May. So it's nice to see a new business involved and a new driver.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. And reading a little bit about the business sounds like something that a lot of folks in Oswego are going to really be happy with and enjoy, given the nature of the business with all of the different wellness options that they offer there. We've got a couple of different things like that down this way, and very popular, to say the least. So that should be a good addition to the city of Oswego, and obviously to be able to have them realize right away that, hey, we need to be involved at the Speedway makes perfect sense, because race car drivers certainly do need to take care of their bodies, for sure. So, you know, that's that probably will help their bottom line pretty quickly, I would imagine, once people find out what it is. But so who do we know of anyone else who's new?
Not necessarily new.
Okay.
I've heard
coming back.
Rumors here and there kind of flying all over the place of a couple dirt sportsman guys that are interested. I have heard of people coming back as far as, you know, Dalton Doyle, some of the guys who were invested last year returning for this season. So Barry Kingsley, Mike Bruce, all those guys will be back. Mike Bruce just got a new motor for his car. So I do think that it's going to grow. I do think we'll have one Vern LeFave back this year full-time.
Sweet. That'll be a nice ovation when he hits the track again for the first time, and well-deserved, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I know we got Cameron Rowe coming to the 350 class as well in the old Cliff car.
Yeah, that's another thing I wanted to touch on. Man, those guys are killing it.
They're animals. When I was out there over Christmas, I mean, they were working like beavers.
Oh, man.
There's like four or five cars in that circle now. You've got
–
Cameron's got – an SBS and a and a 350. And of course, Mike is driving too. And Robbie and gosh, I feel like, who am I missing? I feel like there's another car in that group I'm missing. But there's like four or five cars in that group. It's crazy how hard those guys work and how much they're doing. But I mean, again, that's what to me is really making the Speedway fun right now, is all of those you're seeing a lot of. And I don't know that we thought that was going to happen when the 350 class started, but seeing these teams that are doing double duty like that, whether it's with the same driver or there's two different drivers involved, to me, that's a great thing. And these certainly aren't, you know, big dollar organizations either. They're teams that really want to go racing, and they're doing everything they can to put a car together in each division and to support both classes. And I think that's fantastic.
It really is fantastic. And it's nice to have, kind of a new team like those guys involved. And yeah. You gave me a nice segue, because Rich, I know he's supported the show and
yes,
obviously is doing a lot for both divisions, fielding two cars and the 350 and the SPS classes. And he has also stepped up as J&S Paving to become the title sponsor of the 350 Super Modified division. So
we're
really grateful for him and appreciative of that.
Wow. That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
See, and there again, you need people like that. And you know, that's, there's been, I feel like a bit of a revival at the Speedway in the back pit. And again, we're not even talking about supers here. I'm just saying that with teams like that, you're starting to get more teams that come in at the entry level. And that's how you end up with teams, or drivers anyway, at the top level, is you got to start down there first. And so, you know, there was a whole lot of hoopla about Greg Furlong coming back. Greg's a perfect example. Those guys started in the limited class, and Greg had raced nothing, basically. I mean, you know, let's go racing, and look all that turned out to be. I mean, so I think the excitement in the back pit is great for the front pit, because it eventually drifts that way, at least in part. And so if you can get your entry level classes, your lower classes, to a price point and a competition standpoint to where, you know, a Kyle Perry or a Griffin Miller can come in and be successful, then you know, maybe over time, you know, that develops into a bigger thing, and that's what you need. So I'm really excited to see everything that's going on in the back pit, knowing full well that, you know, the front pit's still pretty strong too. I mean, it seems like, I don't know, and again, you can tell me better, but I don't know that we've totally lost anybody in the supers. Do we have, what's the new, the rookie super modified field looking like for 20?
I don't know. I don't know if we'll have any new rookies, and that's kind of a bummer. I don't think we are going to lose anybody at all.
No.
I'm not sure if we will end up losing a car full time. I think there's a couple guys on the fence. I also think there's a couple guys that are going to kind of be hit or miss that we haven't had before. Like, we got registrations from Mike McVetta and Danny Shirey, and that's something we thought would happen last year. And fortunately it didn't, but this year it sounds like they're going to hit, you know, three or four races.
Good. And again, if you get some of the MSS/ISMA cars that come in and run a few times, you know, the car count stays relatively healthy.
Yeah, I think it's going to stay relatively healthy all year long. Joey Payne, another guy that's coming back. You got Jason Spalding, Bobby Bond registered. He's going to run a few shows.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so it,
good
it is
for Joey too. I hadn't seen that. Is Joey going to run the Penix car?
Yep. I think he's going to be there opening day and go from there. So yeah, it's really good.
I wonder when we'll see Anthony in a super modified.
I know, that'd be nice.
Not that I want to not have Joey in one, but you know, like, I'd rather see another car, but I wasn't trying to kick Joey out of his seat. But you know, I think we'd all love to see Anthony get a shot at it.
Sure. Yeah, I'd like to see Nick Snyder get a shot at it too.
Does he still
He's
want
wanted to
to?
do it a long
Has
time.
he? Okay, I wasn't sure. I mean, Nick's a big hockey player and has some other things. I wasn't sure if that was still a goal of his or not to get in the car, but yeah, it would be fun to see him out there too. You know, it's just it's one of those situations where, again, the cost of competition is just so high that, you know, whereas, you know, 20 years ago, well, you just buy another car and, you know, put Junior in it, right? But if you're not, if you're dad and you're not ready to be done, but it's expensive nowadays to field a competitive super, so it makes that sort of thing harder. But it would be nice to
Yeah.
see a couple of those guys like that be able to, you know, to get in the car and have their shot. I mean, you've got an SBS sitting there. Maybe we get one of those guys in the NFL. Well, of course, those guys would probably want to start in a super, knowing them.
Yeah, I think that Tim's goal is to stay in it long enough that, when Nick's really busy with hockey right now, and I think they'd kind of like to get him through that and let him focus on hockey in school. But when the time comes and the opportunity presents itself, I do think he'll get his chance to compete. And it's nice to see Tim. I mean, one of the most loyal competitors the division has ever seen
Absolutely.
for decades now. So I'm really glad that he's going to be back for a full-time season this year as well, and hitting some ISMA races too. I was down at their shop last week, and they're getting things ready to go. So very dedicated and happy about that.
That's fun. Yeah, it's good that they're going to do some ISMA racing as well. Yeah, I mean, it seems like for the most part the class is pretty healthy, and again, increasing car counts in the other two divisions. So it's seeming like this is going to be a really good, really solid season at Oswego, and the schedule obviously is done and out. And
Love it. I like the
yeah,
schedule this year.
well, I do too. I love the variety in the schedule. I think we've talked about that on some other shows with the other divisions coming in. You know, I mean, gosh, it's great to have the sport mods and the super stocks coming in, and you know, the ISMA opener being at the track is awesome. You know, and then Classic Weekend to me is just shaping up to be a whole bunch of fun. Excuse me. So it should be a really good season at Oswego, and you're going to have all the information and schedules and everything at the expo for anybody who goes there.
Yep.
You know, it'll be great. It sounds like it's going to be a good time, and hopefully everything goes well next week. I know the TQ midget races are always a blast, and we get, you know, I know Tyler Thompson's going to run.
Michael Barnes.
Michael Barnes has been
Yep.
running that series. Yeah. So, do we know what Mike's status is, by the way? I haven't heard anything official on him with Sorrel Racing yet.
I don't. I've heard nothing but rumors on it. I've heard he's full time. I've heard he's done. I've heard he's part time. I have no idea.
Sounds like a weather forecast, partly cloudy with a chance of a shower. Somebody's practicing meteorology. Well, it's you know, hopefully, obviously, he comes back. But looking forward to seeing him in the TQ Midget car. That's always fun. And Tyler obviously has had an interesting off season with going and running the Chili Bowl and doing the TQ stuff. And I know he's in for a busy season again this year. And I suspect probably some announcements down the road to come on stuff he may be doing. But man, it's good to have you back on the program, and we're seeing registrations coming in, and now, you know, you'll have more information coming in the coming days and weeks about who's official and who's not and what's going on.
Yep.
And we can hopefully, at least hope for the most part, put the snow away for another year and start thinking about
Hope
spring
so.
and super modified racing again.
I hope so. A lot of green grass today, and it's 45 degrees, so that's what we like to see.
Absolutely, yeah. It's actually really mild down here, which is sort of scary, because usually in our recent history here in the last couple of months, it gets into the 60s. The next thing that happens is serious thunderstorms or tornadoes, so I'm hoping we can avoid all of that. We got a big race down here at one of the dirt tracks this weekend, so we kick our season off in the Charlotte area on Saturday. Lancaster Speedway, just over the border, has two big days of racing on Friday and Saturday, so it's on for us. Yeah, so it should be fun. Anyways, we appreciate your time, Camden, and look forward to having you keep us up to date in the coming weeks with what's going on, and appreciate you being back on the show.
Yeah, can't wait. Good to be back. It's going to be a really fun year.
We're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to hear from Andrew Shortner. As Inside Groove continues, we shall be right back after this.
Everyone knows Strutmasters is the suspension experts for luxury vehicles, and now we offer motorcycle products. Introducing Easy Rider, complete motorcycle air suspension, brought to you by Strutmasters.com. You can raise and lower your bike with the flip of a switch. Take those long rides with the ultimate comfort of Easy Rider air shocks. They're backed by Strutmasters, and you won't believe the low price. Check out Easy Rider Motorcycle Air Suspension at Strutmasters.com.
Welcome back to Inside Groove, and as we talked about in the open of the show, Andrew Shortner is joining us on this Inside Groove show this week, and we are excited to have Andrew. I haven't, everybody thinks that, hey, you live in North Carolina, and, you know, I know so-and-so and so-and-so that live down there. You must see them all the time, and the truth is, it's a pretty big place down here. We all kind of have our own things going on, and don't get to see Andrew nearly as much as I'd like to, but happy to have you on the show, buddy. And you've got kind of an interesting arrangement going on this year. And just for the listeners, I've known Andrew since he was 9 years old when he started racing mic rods at the Syracuse Geddes Mic Rod and Quarter Midget Club. And I've known Brian Sobis, gosh, I don't even know how old Andrew was, but I think they were both still in high school when I met Brian racing go-karts at Frozen Ocean up there. So for me, this is kind of interesting. They've been great friends all these years, and to see the two of them teaming up for a full season effort at Oswego is pretty awesome. How did this all come together, Andrew? I mean, I know you were part-time last year. I think a lot of us had thought that maybe you would end up being full-time again this year. The car is, but you're not. Talk about the whole genesis of the dynamic duel of you and Brian Sobis getting together to go try to win some races in the small block division.
Yeah, I think it started in November when I turned 30 and it hurt to get out of bed. So I figured it would hurt even worse to sit on an airplane for 2.5 hours every week. But it turned out to be a situation where, you know, I got a lot that I've done up there in the small blocks, and I'm happy with that, and I want to try to get a couple more wins. But I didn't really want to make the full-time commitment to run a full season, and I wanted to try to potentially keep the program going, because it's a successful program, and I needed to find somebody that I could trust to have the same driving style. It also could help us advance really our expertise and setups, and the only person that could do that and the best person out there for that was Brian. So it worked out that you know, Brian was looking to get back active again, which there's no place Brian deserves to be more than the supers, but we'll take him as long as we can down in the small blocks. And it just came together that we both had mating needs and wants, and we'll put a good program together for this year.
Well, I would actually opine that both of you deserve to be in the big block super modified division, and I was hoping that Tyler Thompson would have gone ahead with the raffle of that car, and I'd have won it, because I was looking at this dynamic duo being a super modified thing. But maybe someday the Lord will still let that happen. But you, you know, you and Brian, you talk about the similar driving styles, and you're right. I mean, you're two of the only drivers that I've seen in the division over the years who have the ability to run the top the way that you do. And, you know, to me, I think the level of aggression without being over aggressive. And just the way that you drive the car is very similar. I'm not sure kind of how all that happened. I think it's more like minds than anything else, because I don't know that, you know, either of you really patterned yourself after the other or really after any of the same drivers that came before you. But it is interesting how similar your styles are.
Yeah, you got to really have very little respect for the left side of your car and your medical deductible to run up to the top. But it's interesting that he has kind of been one of the pioneers to get that started and show everyone, you know, you had Jabe Kruhl back in the day. Was
yes,
really good,
Dave, you're
Russ
right.
Brown.
Yep.
And there didn't really seem to be a lot. And I think Brian shares similar style there. I do. It's a little easier to do nowadays, I think, in my opinion, because they've gone to cars that really are a little too easy to drive. I think the tires are stickier, or they are far stickier than they used to be. You know, back in the day, it was a lot more slippery. And you really, really had to earn it up there. But it still is takes a certain amount of pedigree to drive up on the top. And you really have to set the car up so it's faster in traffic than in a straight line, which is why you'll typically see us not qualify as well as some of our other competitors, because it's one thing to go really fast in a straight line, but we're not on a drag strip. You got to be able to navigate. And Brian understands that very well. And I think it'll work well. Him being able to, first of all, get that set up in the car, and then two, be able to utilize it from week to week without having to change too much between us.
Yeah, it's really interesting that you talk about how much easier the cars are to drive, because I believe that too. I think they, and I think, I suppose in some ways, some folks would argue that's a good thing. I think there was a time when I thought your dirt experience really played into you being able to get up there and run the top successfully. And now the way the cars are, I'm not so sure it comes into play as much, but nonetheless, I think first you have to you have to want to go up there, and like you said, you got to be willing to sort of put you and your car at risk. But then I think the other part of that is that the cars do handle much differently than they did when you started and when Brian started. So it's kind of a different, it seems like it's almost a slightly different driving style that it takes to make them fast now than it used to be.
It is, and I don't agree with that. There's a lot of things I'd like to see happen. Go to harder compound tires, basically take our spoiler away almost down to nothing and get it back to where it's difficult to drive. And you would see people screw up more, and you would see people slide around more. But we don't need to be running 18.6s. You know, if we're running 19.2s, the racing would be just as good, and we demonstrated that.
It sure was. Yeah, I agree.
You know, It was really good back in the day, and it's not to say it's impossible. I mean, the classic there, coming out of turn four, somewhere Priest read me my last rights because I was dead to rights coming out of four.
Yes.
Somehow saved it.
Yes, you were.
And I think that had something to do with some of the dirt track, but in general, there's a lot of changes I think we can make to slow the cars down, but would actually make the racing better.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. It's an interesting point of view, and I've never thought, you know, I've always been one that I go to races to see side-by-side competition and passing. I'm not, speed is great, but if speed isn't also accompanied by side-by-side competition and passing, then, you know, I can go watch a drag race and see speed. You know, I'm interested in competition and racing, and, you know, and I think sometimes you can get to a point where you're almost going too fast for the racing to be good. I think to a degree, the super modifieds have gotten through that a little bit, you know, at times. And I think the SBS division the same. I mean, you watch races from, you know, the early mid-90s and even into, you know, the early 2000s before it started getting really fast. You saw a whole lot of side-by-side racing and drivers that, you know, you look at and go, well, gosh, if you put this, you know, it's not anybody can drive these things. And I don't think that the limited division got as nearly the respect that it deserved in its earlier days for the racing it was putting on, because there were a lot of times it was a better race than the super modified race was that same night.
It is, and I think that the problem is with these cars being as grippy as they are, it's almost like some of these NASCAR races where guys get on front and then it's follow the leader.
Yeah, yep.
And a good point of that, if you look at Tyler Thompson, he ran small blocks, wasn't as successful as he was in the Supers, because I think he saw how hard it is to try to pass in that class.
Yeah,
because everybody's so tight. I mean, 1 through 20 is just a couple tenths of a second off on any given night, not just classic. And a couple tenths of a second, and or hundreds of a second for that matter. And it really shouldn't be that way. I think that if you get the cars to where, you know, maybe we have to run the tires, you know, 3 weeks in a row if you're not going to go to a different compound, do yeah. something, take the spoiler away, it's going to make people screw up, and you're not going to be able to run 7-8 laps in a row, a hundredth of a second off, and your lap times are going to be more up and down, and that's going to lead to more passing, because if you're sitting in the stands, you can't tell the difference between an 18-second lap and a 19.3.
No, not at all. Nope. No,
it's you know, that's just, I try not to complain too much about it because it makes me sound like a grumpy old veteran, and I refuse to admit that I'm that now. Well, so
you're neither old nor grumpy. You are a veteran, however. But and I think as a veteran, I think you're entitled to that opinion. And you know, it. I think also that people ought to pay attention to the opinions of the guys that have been doing it a while, because, you know, you guys have kind of been through the evolution a little bit, and you know what's going on, and I think you have a perfect right to express that, and nobody's, there's no personal attacks here, there's no, you know, the Speedway sucks or anything like that. It's just a discussion on, you know, what might or might not be a better way to go, and I think you need more of that, not less. What we need less of is just, you know, the personal attacks and people criticizing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over until it's, you know, yeah. until you beat it to death. That's not productive. But I think the opinions you have certainly have merit. And, you know, and I think it is productive if you're expressing it in the sense of wanting the racing to be better. So, you know, you've been doing this a long time now. And as you said, you've accomplished about everything there is to accomplish in an SBS car, most of it more than once. You certainly would have loved another championship, I'm sure. But again, there comes a point where you want more of a balance, which I totally get. And it's hard to go from North Carolina to Oswego, New York every week. You know, you've kind of figured that out over the years. And, you know, I think we'd all like to be at Oswego all the time, but we just don't live close enough to make that feasible. So going now, was it kind of your idea that I want to find another driver, or was it kind of from the start, I want Brian Sobis to drive the races I don't? Because I was honestly, when I saw this, my first thought was, this is awesome. This is going to be a blast. And then my second thought was, well, I know Rich Petrucco ran some races. I bet he would have liked to have done some of that. So, I mean, was there any consideration of any other drivers, or was this something where you specifically wanted to sort of team up with Brian and have some fun?
Brian was my first choice, for sure. I just wasn't sure if he was going to be willing to go run the small blocks, because he obviously had been successful. He had many second-place finishes in the Super.
Yep.
You know, I had considered him, you know, invite David Ortiz to your wedding, you know, expect him to show up type of thing. I wasn't sure that he was going to be willing to accept that invitation. And well, I was very excited that he did, but we did go through a couple other options. I immediately ruled out Russ Brown because I figured he'd make me look bad.
Yeah.
So I figured,
well, he died trying, that's for sure.
Though I will be bragging if I run better than Brian, and I told him that as well. So.
Well, and you know that it's going to go the other. See, that's why I'm so excited, because the trash talk is going to be just a whole other level here inside this group. And you know, it's great, because one of the things that I've always said about motorsports, you know, people say, why do you love racing? Well, the relationships and the friendships and that get built. And here's a classic example. You and Brian have been friends a long time. And, you know, and it's so now you've got this thing going where you're going out to win races. You're not just going to screw around and have fun. But at the same time, there is that element of, you know, we're going going to have fun while we're trying to be serious. And I know that obviously the game changed for you last year because, you know, Tom kind of stepped back and it became almost more Schartner racing. So to be able to put this together obviously took a level of commitment on everyone's part to say, especially your dad and the crew, that, yeah, we want to do this every week, but we know we're going to have to use a couple different drivers to get it done.
Yeah, it took a lot of self-reflection. You know, when Tom took a step back, he obviously had a very important leadership role. The guy that's in the Hall of Fame, and he's a guy that has done this from the beginning and is very well regarded, and for good reason, because
Absolutely.
He knows how to lead a team.
Yep.
I mean, that's demonstrative of how successful everybody that he's put in the car has been, from Russ to Gruhl to myself. And obviously those were big shoes to fill coming behind them too. I feel like we've done it, but we've done it because of his leadership. So it was a challenge to try to get started last year and be successful. We did have a little bit of disorganization that we had to sort through, and I think we're going to come into this year better prepared, and we're going to be more successful because we can be successful. I know that on any given night we're the best team up there. It's just, it's mentally and physically difficult to do it week after week after week for coming 700 miles. It's not an excuse. It's just a realization.
No, it's a fact.
if we want to do this the right way, we're going to have to change things and tune them a little bit. And this was the best path forward is moving forward with myself and Brian. And that's how we're going to see the most success.
Okay, so I want to back up a little bit because I want to be sensitive to your time. I know you've got other things to do later tonight, but I do want, because there are so many fans listening to this that I feel like may not have ever really known your whole history of what I would define as overachievement. And there's also another whole storyline within that of you and your dad doing this together and your dad building cars. You started in mic rods and in cars that you were kind of borrowing from someone else, but then your dad started building them, and your dad's mic rods won. And then you went to what used to be Dwarf Cars, and then got a name change, but I still in my head like to call them Dwarf Cars. But you went to Brewerton and was, and again, your dad built one of those and you started winning in those, and now you go to small blocks and end up racing for Tom, and your dad builds a car and you go out and win. So can you talk a little bit about, if you kind of look back on it, first of all, could you have ever seen yourself at this point at 30 still racing anything, much less, being able to do it with your dad in the way that you guys have, with your dad building the majority of your cars? But then what's it been like for you? I mean, fans probably ought to know that you were like 17 or 18, and the Moglite Club asked you to be a part of the board of directors, which says a whole lot for the kind of character and person that you were at such a young age.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that you bring that up, because I had someone ask me the other day. We were talking about growing up and things that we did. And I played baseball for a handful of years in high school, but didn't really do a whole lot other than race. And they said, looking back, would you change that? Would you change anything about it? And I thought about it and tried to self-reflect honestly. And I said, honestly, no, because, when this is all done and when I look back on it, these last, 22 years or whatever it's been, 23 years of my life that I spent racing has been the greatest that I could have possibly scripted it, only because that I spent the majority of the time with him. My father, of course, being able to do this, because as biased as I may be, he's the greatest engineer that I've ever known.
Oh, I agree.
So to be able to do a lot of the stuff that we've done, it wouldn't have been possible without him really being creative, innovative, and doing the things that he did, but also pushing me to be not only a good driver, but a good person. So I feel like where I've wound up today was a huge part of him, and obviously the rest of my family, my mother, and it's really brought me close to all of them. Wouldn't change it. I don't know how much longer I have, but I'll always be grateful for this, and I think Brian's helping extend that lifespan a little bit as well. So, we're very fortunate we get to do it. We're very fortunate that we've been very successful at it. I've been very successful with some of the wins we've been able to grab, and I want to get a couple more, try to get in the top five all time in wins. And then if we do that, I think I'll be happy. I can, you know, sit down here on a nice 100-degree day and sweat to death and be happy about it, I guess.
Well, yeah, I won't even get into some of the corny jokes you made about the Carolina Heat the first time you came down here all those years ago when I said, hey, you should come to college at UNCC, and you actually took me up on it, which I hope you look back on and say, I'm glad you gave me the advice. But it was certainly entertaining driving you around the first time you came down here. Okay, so 2020 already upon us, and you're ready to do this sort of dynamic duel. Who's going to race opening day, and what is your schedule going to look like, or haven't you kind of ironed that all out? And who's going to run the Classic?
I'll run the first two races. We're going to get Brian in for the middle part of the summer. And the game plan now is for me to run the Classic. If he goes out there and wins every race and I'm not doing well, I'll probably get out of the way. We'll see how that goes. But that's the game plan for right now. And obviously we have had a lot of support over the years from Tom, had a lot of support from my parents, and Arnold's Family Restaurant will be on board this year. Cameron's Bakery, GMV Auto Care. We're going to get some support from East Coast Customs. And a lot of what we're going to do is going to depend on all them people working together to make it happen. So I'm excited for it. We'll go out there. We'll get started, test, run the first two weeks. We got our fundraiser April 18th at Lighthouse Lane, so everybody can come out to that. And then where I'm going to get out of the way and let the main event come on stage in June and let Brian do his thing. And then we'll go from there.
Are we going to see both of you kind of in and out of the car and, like on practice day or whatever? Or what's the plan for that?
Yeah, I think we're going to do that. I'm trying not to keep things too hard and rigid, because it's really going to be a feel thing. If one of us is riding momentum, I'm sure we'll go with it. I'm not going to – Brian wins a race or two. I'm not going to be like, all right, get out of the car. You know, we're going to be flexible, and we're going to make sure that, we do this the right way, and we do this the way that if someone's having success, we feed off that momentum.
Interesting. So that kind of opens the door for a little bit of inter-team competition. If Brian goes out and starts having some success, I mean, you're willing to kind of step back and let him run more. So little motivation. It sounds like there could be some interesting conversations coming from the 18 pit over the course of the year, for sure. That's going to be a fun place to be hanging out this year.
I can see that definitely biting me in the ass now that I say it, but I'm sure he'll buy me a large case of beer to make up for it, so we'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm sure he probably will. And now we'll have to get Brian on to get his side of all of this, but we're grateful for the chance to spend a little time with you tonight, Andrew, and look forward to, I want to actually get you up to our new studio in Statesville and get you on one of our Thursday night shows up there coming up, and talk about your career a little bit, because it is a great story and a very unique one as well. So hopefully we can make that happen. And meantime, we wish you well and look forward to seeing what you and Brian can do at the Big O this year. And glad to see that you got two classy drivers that can, you know, can certainly drive the wheels off a car, teaming up to put a car in the field full time, and excited that your dad and everybody else are willing to put that kind of an effort in again this year. And should be a lot of fun.
Thanks. Appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, that is Andrew Schartner. We are going to step aside, and we'll have more of Inside Groove coming up right on the other side of this break. Is your job sucking the life out of you? Wake up! You can do something else. Information technology. I know what you're thinking, but I'm not a math or science person. No excuses, no problem. It's not rocket science. It's my computer career. Helping people start an IT career is their thing. If you don't absolutely love what you do, go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You can start your new life as an information technology professional in as little as 4 months. Attend classes on campus or live online just 2 or 3 times a week to get what you'll need to start your new career. More than just a school, My Computer Career helps you get into the industry by working with hundreds of employers that hire their students. My Computer Career is nationally accredited, and financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon, so go take the career evaluation now at mycomputercareer.edu. Mycomputercareer.edu. That's mycomputercareer.edu. Welcome back to Inside Groove, and that will just about wrap up this show for this week. We hope that you enjoyed all of the conversation that we had, and thanks again to Cam and also to Andrew Schartner for jumping on and being a part of this week's episode. Next week, we're going to have a treat for you. We've got a driver from the past who's going to be talking about another driver from the past, his own career, and a driver in the present. So we'll let you chew on that puzzle for a week or so and look forward to seeing you on our next episode. And we may even have an additional guest as well. So we're excited about the next few weeks here. We've got guests lining up now for the rest of the month and into April. So we're getting things aligned to take us well toward the season opening shows and looking forward to what 2020 has in store. So for Cam and for myself and for all of our sponsors, IPC Indy, Indy Performance Composites, I promise we're going to kidnap Jeff West one of these weeks and get him on the show as soon as his schedule lightens up for us. And also Skip's Fish Fry, Sean Cathcart and his staff, and Rich Worth and the group at JNS Paving. I'm Tom Baker. Thanks for listening. Please remember to share the show. And if you would be so kind, if you feel inclined, go to the Inside Groove Facebook page and give us a good review. We need to get some more of those going. It looks good for potential sponsors, but it also reflects well when new people migrate over there and see good reviews. It just reflects well on the work that we're doing. So don't want to push. Just if you feel inclined to take a minute to do that, we would appreciate it. And of course, like I said, share the show on all of your social media outlets, because the more new fans we get, the bigger the party gets every week, and that's what we want. Thanks for listening, everybody. We hope you have a blessed week and weekend. Look forward to the next episode of Inside Groove. So long.
You've been listening to Inside Groove, powered by IPC Indy, creating performance parts and solutions for the automotive, aerospace, and communications industries. Find them on the web at www.ipcindy.com. Inside Groove is a Race Chaser Media production. For more exciting and passionate motorsport content, follow Race Chaser Media on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, and visit racechasermedia.com. The opinions expressed by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, affiliates, or marketing partners of Race Chaser Media. No part of this show may be reproduced in any manner without the expressed written consent of Race Chaser Media. Thank you for listening.